This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 6, 2023. The Transfiguration of Our Lord Jesus Christ by Father William Doc Holliday.
I beheld till thrones were placed and the Ancient of Days sat. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable to my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Always talking about the necessity of reading Scripture, one of the things I throw out quite frequently is that we have to always appreciate the context of Scripture. The Transfiguration is, if not the absolutely one of the most dramatic and vivid things that happen in the New Testament. What is the context of the Transfiguration? There is a context. It is not just Jesus showing his glory or the discussion between Moses, Elijah, and the Old Testament and the New Testament. There is something that has laid the foundation in the first reading that the context of the Transfiguration is not just an ostentatious display of Jesus showing who he truly is. There's a reason behind it. That reason is to be found in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, we see descriptions used that are a mirror image of what goes on with our Lord Jesus Christ at the Transfiguration. Daniel, in this vision that he has, he says, I beheld till thrones were placed and the Ancient of Days sat. Interesting that it's plural thrones and the Ancient of Days singular sits on the throne. Sort of like when our Lord Jesus Christ says, go baptize them in the name singular of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Plural. We get this concept that there's more going on than just God the Father sitting on his throne. But he is sitting on his throne. To sit is a posture of judgment. This is the context of the Transfiguration. It's about judgment. Not even judgment per se is who is the judge. Daniel sees this vivid image, and he tries to describe it, talks about the Ancient of Days, this eternal God, his garments white as snow, his hair like wool, these symbols of purity sitting on the thrones, plural. It's a celestial court. A lot of times we hear celestial court, we just think of kings and queens and their attendants and just leave it. What happens in a court? Judgment. That's why you get in trouble, you get a ticket. Okay, where do you go? Court. So somebody can judge. All right, that's what's going on here. It is the celestial court of judgment. Well, how do you get that? You don't have to get it out of anything because we get a description. And at the judgment seat, the books were open. What are those books? Those books are every act that we have ever committed at individuals in this world, both good and bad. The books are going to be open. This is what's going on here. And it's not just a matter of judgment in as much as, well, God deciding what's right and what's wrong. Yes, indeed. But there are also dire consequences. I always point out, if you look at your bullet and you see, you know, the book of Daniel, this chapter, this verse and this verse, and then skip two verses, and then this verse and this verse. What's going on in those other two verses? The consequence of his judgment. The beast was slain and given to the fire to be burnt. Dire consequences of God's judgment. This is the context of the Transfiguration. Again, not so much judgment per se, but who's going to judge? We see this vision. Basically, Daniel ties up everything and he talks about this Ancient of Days sitting on the thrones. And he said, the thrones were like flames of fire. The wheels of them were like burning fire, and a swift stream of fire issued forth before him. This whole idea of a never-ending punishment to this judgment. This is that scene. This is the scene, and again, it is an exact mirror image. The one who judges on this throne, on these thrones, and the transfiguration. We even see the prefiguring of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Daniel. One of the last things that we read in this scene of judgment is, and lo, one like the Son of Man came even to the Ancient of Days, and they presented him before him. The Son of Man is the favorite title our Lord Jesus Christ uses for himself. He uses other titles, but that one is the first and foremost often used, the Son of Man. When Jesus uses this title, it resonates with people who know the Old Testament. Because where do we hear about the Son of Man? We hear him in the book of Daniel, judging. The Son of Man, this one who transfigures himself for Peter, James, and John. And when he transfigures himself, this Son of Man, as he is repeatedly referred to himself, he becomes before them the judge. His face did shine like the sun, and his garments became white as snow. The exact same words of the vision that Daniel has of the celestial court. And then that voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. That's a very succinct statement. My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. You better hear him. You better hear him because he just showed you who he is. And you want to be on the right side of this whole judgment thing. This is the transfiguration. The transfiguration brings into our world. It brings something that is timeless and ethereal and a vision and transcendent into reality for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ opens the apostles' eyes to who he truly is, bringing into our time the vision from Daniel. That's the context of the transfiguration. This one who transfigured himself before Peter, James, and John, he is the same one that when everything's tied up in the vision of Daniel, it says about the Son of Man, he says, and the Ancient of Days gave him power and glory and a kingdom. We never want to lose sight of the fact, not only of context in Scripture, but how things are progressing. When does the transfiguration happen? It happens immediately after Peter's confession of Jesus Christ. Who do you say that I am? I mean, he got all kinds of answers when who do men say that I am? But who do you, my apostles, say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Whenever that happens, because up to this time, they have walked with the rabbi, a very special rabbi, obviously a prophet of God. He does miracles. Miracles have been done by prophets in the past. Prophets in the Old Testament raised people from the dead. So, you know, he's a very special prophet, but we haven't seen anything that would indicate that he's anything any more than a prophet. Who do you say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Jesus, contrary to angels, for instance, when angels show up and people fall on their face, which they always do, they fall on their face and the angels always say, get up, I'm a fellow servant. You don't worship me. Peter confesses our Lord as being the Christ, the Son, the living God. And no, Peter, I'm a prophet. I was sent by God, but no, he accepts that out of it. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because you hit the nail right on the head. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. I am the Son of Man, who you read about in Daniel. Jesus accepts this confession, and then to confirm the words of Peter, he transfigures himself in front of him and James and John. This is when reality strikes. This is the one whom they and we worship, because the transfiguration is not a glorious history lesson for us. It's something that Peter, James, and John got to see. It is something that we are supposed to bring forward. And the scriptures actually bring it forward also. We worship this one who is the Son of Man, who is the suffering servant, but also the transcendent Son of Man. This is why every time we gather together on a Sunday or on a feast day, we say the creed, and in that creed it says, He shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. That is pointing to Jesus Christ as being the one who we read about in Daniel that uses those exact same words. The creed is not something that was cobbled together by some holy guys a couple hundred years after the church was established to give us something to say in Mass. It is a representation, a presentation of who really this is that we come together to worship. When we receive our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, we are receiving this one who transfigured himself. Interesting how he has a tendency to do that. He transfigures himself before Peter, James, and John, and then when we come together, he transfigures himself under the forms of bread and wine and makes himself present to us. But the same one present to us. The Eucharist. Leave with this if you leave with nothing else. The Eucharist, when you come up, if you are properly disposed to receive the Eucharist, is to be feared. The Eucharist is a fearful and a terrible thing if you realize who you are receiving. This is the reality of the Eucharist. We need Eucharistic revival. Okay, and I say quite frequently that watching videos and watching people with the monstrance walk around church grounds, that's not going to change one thing. Not one thing. That is not going to bring revival. Those are platitudes. They are good. They are helpful. They're not going to change anything. Things aren't going to change until bishops and priests get up in front of their people and say, when you receive the sacrament, you should be fearful. You better be right that you are properly disposed to receive. Because if you don't and you aren't, you will receive judgment unto yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Thus saith the Lord. This is the reality. And this why? Because the one we're receiving in ourselves is the one who is ultimately going to judge us. This is the transfiguration. Our Lord Jesus Christ unveiled for his apostles and for us the authentic content of his being and his mission. The suffering servant and the transcendent Son of Man. St. John Chrysostom says, when our Lord presents this vision, this reality to his apostles, that he is presenting to them the kingdom of God because they are about to also witness the wages of sin. The wages of sin are what our Lord endured for us in the Passion. Those two things, the transfiguration, suffering servant, transcendent Son of Man, the kingdom over which he is Lord and ruler of all, and it's everybody. Never lose sight of what it says in Daniel. Jesus Christ is not the judge of the Christian. Jesus Christ is the judge of every tribe, tongue, and nation, as the foundation is laid in Daniel, as it speaks in our creed, and what we believe. We've got to be prepared for this. We have seen both the kingdom of heaven in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we've seen the wages of sin. This is why the scriptures say, I offer you two things. I offer you life and death. Which will you choose? He does not arbitrarily put one or the other on you. We're not Calvinists. You choose, thus saith the Lord, between life and death. And I'm going to be the one who judges as to whether or not you have correctly chosen. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this isn't just something that was presented to the apostles. This is for us. This is why one of those apostles who saw this with his own eyes, St. John the Divine, when he sees our risen Lord Jesus Christ again in the book of Revelation, and he shares that with us, he uses the same exact language as Daniel in the Transfiguration. I saw like the Son of Man, and his hairs were white as wool and as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet as if they were in a burning fire. This is the resurrected Lord. This is the one who's going to come and judge. The suffering servant has come. The transcendent Son of Man is coming. This is what we prepare ourselves for. The books are going to be open. This is why we're here. We want to ready ourselves for when that happens. Because one of two things are going to happen. And this is what you want. You want our Lord to be standing when you stand before his judgment, because sitting is a position of judgment. We do not want to go up to the judgment seat and see our Lord Jesus Christ sitting there as our judge. We don't want that. We want to see him as the apostles saw him, standing over them, laying his hand on them and say, "Fear not, arise." We should be fearful of the judgment here and now. In a sense, like the Eucharist. Yeah, you should. It's real. And there are dire consequences. However, when you appeal and live a life that's commensurate with the faith that we proclaim, this has to happen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, and you know, all three of those, they were human beings, and they were frail, and they were fallible, and they ran from our Lord Jesus Christ when he endured for them the wages of sin that he took upon himself. But he put his hand on them and said, "Fear not, arise." This is what we want to hear before the judgment seat. We want to see our Lord and be before him standing, not sitting. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.